If you think your soul is precious, other souls are also equally precious to me. Now some of you say, should we be judgmental? No, you don't need to be judgmental at all. But we know the way. Say that, I know the way. One more time. One more time. If you know the way, then you better show the way. Otherwise, you'll get end up praying for humans. Lord, let there be some humans where we get lost. Amen. See, guys, please, some of us are so much into some understanding of what God can do in our lives. Some understanding. And many of us quickly move from understanding to misunderstanding. Sometimes even preachers can confuse you. Sometimes I tell preachers, be careful where you lead the people. Where you lead the people. Because people tend to follow us. People tend to follow the church. The church becomes a guidepost. So if we do not know how to lead the right way, many people will get lost. Are you with me? Please, I mean, I can easily preach, but when I come here, I don't come to preach. I'm part of this church. I know many of you. But it's very important. It's very important. Recently, I was traveling, and a very elderly man was sitting beside me. Why do I say elderly? He had white hair. I dye my hair. Yeah, I mean, you have to qualify, right? White hair is elderly. No. That's half white in Indian language. White, half white. That, no comments, John. So this man was talking, and I was just listening. He was a pilot, and he flies private jets for billionaires. And he was going on talking about the flights he's taken, and then, I mean, nobody can make a mistake. I'm an Indian. So he started telling me about some cities in India where he just landed, took off. And after a while, politely asked me, are you a businessman? I said, yes. So he asked me, what business? I said, import and export. I said, export where? I said, to heaven. I said, import into the kingdom, export to heaven. Then I said, you can take the people to a particular height. I take off after that. He didn't know what to say. He really didn't know what to say. He was very quiet. After about 15, 20 minutes, they announced that the plane was going to land. So they descend. So he asked me, do you think I'm going to hell? I said, wrong question. Then he said, when I was 6 years old, my dad told me I should get baptized. Now I'm 67. I refuse to get baptized. So if I don't get baptized, will I go to hell? I still said, wrong man, wrong question. Then he looked at me and said, you know, I don't like what the church is doing. I said, why? He said, oh, we should never convert. I said, again, I said, wrong man, wrong question. Then I asked him, so, you fly a lot. Do you put on the safety belt? He said, yes. Do you announce that everybody should put on a safety belt? He said, yes. I said, why? You can just jump off. Do you know where the parachute is? He said, yes. You know where the landing gear is. Do you know in which runway you have to land? He said, yes. I said, why don't you try to land in somebody else's runway? He said, we'll all lose our lives. I said, good thing. If you know safety for yourself, and if you know safety for everybody on the plane, then take them to heaven. I saw tears in his eyes. I saw tears. He said, I've never heard somebody present the love of God. I told him, I'm full of the love of God. I don't need to convert. I give God. If you think God is like a currency, up to you. We are not running a forex business. He cried. He cried. Then he asked me, can you pray for me? I said, no, you pray for me. Guys, please. We are living in times where we need to contend. I like what he read about righteousness. Sometimes we use all these words. But you and me are people whom God depends on. Are you with me? I'm sorry I came late. I didn't have any notes. But I want somebody to come up and read for me the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. If you can put it up, it'll be good. 1 Samuel chapter 30. I want to read from verse 8. 8 to 12. 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 8 to 12. Anybody got it? Pastor Christian, then maybe you have to read it.
For 8 to 12?
Yeah. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue after this band? Shall I overtake them? He answered him, pursue, for you shall surely overtake and shall surely rescue. So David set out, and the 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook Besor, where those who were left behind stayed. But David pursued, and he and 400 men, 200, stayed behind, who were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor. They found an Egyptian in the open country and brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate. They gave him water to drink, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit revived, for he had not even eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and three nights.
Guys, it's a very interesting passage. Contending. Contending. Let me explain it. There are two people who have some connection with the Holy Spirit. The Old Testament times. Today we are living in times where the Holy Spirit is poured out on everybody. But those days, the Holy Spirit was a rare commodity. Saul, who was the first king of Israel, he was anointed by Samuel. He was anointed. So the man had some understanding of the Holy Spirit. But after a while, he started doing his own thing. So while he's still alive, God sent Samuel to anoint another guy called David. And now, David also has the Holy Spirit. Saul also received a prophecy. Samuel prophesied that you're going to be the king. David also receives a prophecy, you're going to be a king. It's very funny. Two people who are kingly. One is already a king. The other is not yet a king. Today, some of us are like that. We've received many prophecies, but we look around. We look around, and then we say, oh, he's there, she's there, that's there, this is there, my job is there, my finances, my dog, my cat. So we are just waiting and waiting and waiting. If you read through the whole of 1 Samuel, now on chapter 30, David loses his family. David loses everything, and God says, go after. Go after. At the same moment, Saul is faced with an army. Saul is faced with an army. David has lost everything. Saul has not lost anything. David has lost everything. Saul has not lost anything. David goes to the Lord. Saul goes to a witch. Now, who's more spiritual? Saul is more spiritual. He tells the witch, bring up who? I like that. I like that. See, some of us are so spiritual that we want spirituality to come from wrong places. Hallelujah. I met a young man who was madly in love with this girl. They met in a Bible study. Then they went to a prayer meeting. Then they went to a all-night prayer meeting. I told them, keep away from her. Then one day he said, you know, Peter Kumar, the Lord is telling me I should take her to my house and we should hold hands and pray. I said, I'll kick you on your backside. See, some young people never listen. After 2 weeks, he called me and said, Peter Kumar, we are in the same anointing. We are sitting in the bed and we are holding hands and pray. I said, don't touch her. After 3 days, she called me and said, every day he wants to have sex with me. What do I do? Praise the Lord for anointing. Hallelujah. Spirituality in wrong places. You got it. Amen. So here is a man. We are talking about contending. We are talking about contending. But between Saul and David, it's very interesting. Between Saul and David, the book of 1 Samuel chapter 27, verse 1. See, sometimes we wonder, why do I feel this? I have a call. I have an anointing. I know how to worship. I believe in the scriptures. But why do I feel so low? Why do I find it so difficult to contend, to really follow after the revelation? Can you put that up? 1 Samuel. David said in his heart, now I shall perish someday by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should speedily escape to the land. Any other version, sir? Any other version? This is too holy for me. Despair, speedily, no. Indians never go speedily. What's your version, Pastor Christine? Perish? No. What is perish? 27:1.
Then David said in his heart, now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul.
See, basically what David is saying is, I'm going to die. Yeah, what does it say?
But David thought to himself, one day, one of these days, I will be destroyed by the hand of Saul.
See, please understand, if you find time, read through the whole thing. The man is a worshiper. The man is a warrior. The man has fought with the lion. He's fought with the bear. He's put on Goliath. Now he's looking for all Goliath's brothers. That's one part of David. A man who could contend. A man who can go on war. A man who can testify, my God, my God, my God was with me. My God delivered me. My God delivered me. He could stand up and say, 1,000 will fall on my one side, 10,000 on the other side. Not even a mosquito will, he didn't say that actually. Mosquito will bite you. Men will fall. Mosquitoes don't fall. Here is the man. There's one aspect. See, sometimes I think he's a bipolar. I meet a lot of bipolar Christians. Madam, how are you? Peter Kumar, praise the Lord. I'm so blessed. I'm so blessed. But I want to talk to you. For what? I have a lot of problems. 2 minutes they say, wow, God is so good. 2 hours I have to sit and listen to the problems. And I'm thinking, just one more scripture, the book of Psalms chapter 43. Psalm 43 verse 3 to 5. Psalm 43 verse 3 to 5.
Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God, my exceeding joy. And I will praise you with the lyre. O God, my God, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God.
See, here is a man who says, my soul is downcast. The same man said, bless the Lord, O my. What would you call this man? Will you give him a job? I won't give him a job. I'll tell him, make up your mind. Bless the Lord, O my soul. My soul is so downcast. Send me a Goliath. I'm going to die at the hands of Saul. Now, why is this important, my brother, my sister? Number one, there is so much of knowledge. Say that knowledge.
Knowledge.
One more time.
Knowledge.
One more time.
Knowledge.
Knowledge about God. David knew about God. God would say, he's a man after my own heart. Number two, he knew how God works. He would tell everybody, my God will deliver me. My God will deliver me. A lion came, a bear came, Goliath came, armies came. My God will deliver me. The third thing, he always said, I'm smart. Say that I'm smart. Do you really mean it? Every time Saul threw a spear, the Bible says David dodged him. David dodged him. Today I meet so many Christians who are easy targets. Hallelujah. Most of the Christians I meet, they get hurt all the time. I don't know why. Are we meant to get hurt all the time? How do you know you're hurt? Please stand before a mirror when nobody's around you and check your heart rate. For a few minutes, your heart will not beat at all. Yeah. I've been in churches where I tell them, I'll give you $2 if you smile, and they still look at me like this. So the same person who's a warrior, you call him for war, he will go. But is his soul glad? No. With a downcast soul, with a discouraged soul. Many times God tells me, if you are frustrated, Peter Kumar, you will only give out frustration. If you are discouraged, you will give out discouraged. If you are living in sin, whatever ministry you do, even your sin will be transferred. That's why you don't get to meet too many preachers. They have 7 bodyguards. Yeah, if you're a vessel, see, sometimes God says, if you're a vessel, you should be poured out, not just tilted. Is there a difference? When you're tilted, only a little bit comes out. And it is so beautiful, rosy, fine. But when you're poured out, everything comes out. Today, many of us, our ministries, I like to be tilted a little bit. I'll give you a word. I can do your hair. The prophecy is so good. You know, I live in Charlotte. It's full of legends. Rick Joyner, Mahesh Chavda, Elevation. And I don't look like a preacher at all. Praise God. So sometimes I go to these conferences and 4 people want to give me a word. I remember a lady came and said, you're like a cupcake in the hands of God. How many of you would like, you're a cupcake? You're a banana? I asked her, is he going to eat me up? You're beautiful in the eyes of God. I said, no, my wife thinks I'm very handsome. My brother, my sister, here is a man who's destined to be a king. Everything happens before the elevation comes. Say that the elevation. One more time. One more time. So he doesn't know that Saul has already gone and fallen in a pit. He doesn't know. He doesn't know. He's a fighting man. If you read through, he's really fighting a war when people come and take away his family. They burn his house. Everybody becomes captives. How will you feel when you are contending, if you are doing the right thing, and if you are fighting for certain things, and you begin to lose? Many people told me, Peter Kumar, I'm doing so much with God. I'm doing so much for God, but still, why am I losing? Don't look at the loss. Look at the elevation which God has appointed. Can we give a clap offering? Hallelujah. Contending. Why should you contend? My brother, my sister, the first thing, more than you depend on God, God depends on you. How many of you can handle it? More than you depend on God, it doesn't matter how much you know God. The moment God knows that you're trying to know him, the moment God knows that you're trying to know him, he begins to depend on you. He begins to depend on you. Some of you, you will say, but I'm not perfect. David was not perfect at all. David was an idiot. I'm telling you. Certain sins he did, some people died. Certain things he did, on one day, 28,000 people died. Fighting men died because of a stupid mistake he did. How can a man cause the death of 28,000 people? But still God said, I depend on you because you are going to become the man after my own heart. The second thing, God depends on you with the lives of people who are connected to you.
Yes.
With the lives of people who are connected to you. Not just your own children, not just your own. No. David had to look at the loss. All the fighting men were weeping, the Bible says. They were so discouraged. The question is, we did the right thing. Why did God allow this? Why did God allow this? Instead of fighting there, if God had told us, fight here, we wouldn't have lost. We wouldn't have lost. We wouldn't have lost. So many of us as parents, at some point of time, we begin to think, I wish, I wish, I wish. We had a family outing with my children. My daughter lives in New Zealand. My son lives in Melbourne, Australia. So we went to an island called Cook Islands. Never do that mistake again with grown-up children. They were driving me. And I wasn't at my best. So I had a breakfast. I threw up. My daughter is a half medicated. I mean, she wanted to become a doctor, then she became something else, but she knows a lot about medicine. So the whole time she was asking Mr. Google, why is my dad vomiting? Why is my dad throwing up? So she started off with cancer, hallelujah, and she came up to diabetes. And then she looked at my wife and said, you're not taking care of him. You're not taking care of him. You're spoiling him. And I'm sitting in the same car. I felt like jumping out. But I can't do it. You're sitting in your daughter's car. If she was sitting in your car, I would have told her, just get out. Then we stopped. We stopped for a meal. So she looked at me and she said, Dad, I think there's something called a pre-will. Before you die, you write a pre-will. See, when they are smart, they think differently. Hallelujah. Who made them smart? We made them smart. It's a pre-will. So one day you die, but you should know where everything goes. Then she said, let's talk about your funeral. You want a burial or a cremation? I know about burial, cremation. There's something called they compose. They just compose your ashes and make it into a ring. So she told me, I can wear two rings, Dad and Mom. $2,000, she found a budget, how to shrink you. And I'm, Dad, how will you feel? Tell me. She had already buried me. compose me. I'll show mom, dad. And I'm looking at Geeta. She says, it's a good idea. You know, please don't make this mistake of being alone with your grown-up kids. But see, it made me think, where am I? Where are they? What is happening? And real talk, many of us, we don't like the real talk. David, contending. Before he becomes a king, see, after this, he becomes a king. The elevation, the prophecy gets fulfilled. The prophecy was not just about being the king. Please listen. What did God trust David for? Number one, to become a ruler. Say that a ruler. Number two, that all his enemies respect him. If you read his life, Abner is a man who had a job description to kill him. Abner comes and says, makes him the king. Nations come to him. And then he brings the ark. See, please, it's not just being somebody on top. He brings the ark. Today, some of us are called to bring the glory back. Yeah. That's the role of the church. And then he had to make gold and silver to invest it in building the temple. They say David fought 66 wars. How many wars? And he never lost even one. If you ask him, why are you going for the war? He will not say to put down the enemy. He will say, I want to take all the gold. And all the silver. For what? I need to build a... Can we give a clap offering to the Lord? Contending. Before he becomes a king, there are three tests. Say the three tests. The first test. In any situation, will you run to God? David inquired of the Lord. The Bible says he strengthened himself. It's very interesting. In the whole Bible, he was the only one who strengthened himself in a season of despair. He never went and took a Botox injection. Or he didn't apply for Amway, asking whether there'll be multivitamins. No, it's not wrong, but still strengthen yourself. See, today, please, my brother, my sister, the little you know about God. Yes, we don't know everything about God. Many times God tells me, why you don't want to know everything about me? That's how he talks to me. He says, I know everything about you. I know everything about you. Why you don't want to know everything about me? That's where I am. He tells me, ask, I will show you, I will tell you. Ask, I will show you, I will tell you. I'm asking so many things to the Lord. I'm asking. And people are saying, Peter, your ministry is different. Recently I prayed for a lady. The Lord told me, this vein, this bone, this muscle. I just said, Lord, I release this vein, I release this muscle. She took me to her house and showed me all the x-rays, exact vein, exact. So I'm praising God that God is revealing something more. And I want to be there. I want to be there. I don't want to be a man with a magic wand saying, become a rabbit, become a rabbit. No. I want to know more about how God works. Nothing wrong in that. But are you driven? Are you driven to run into the arms of God at every situation? I'm not saying run to a prayer meeting. You run to a prayer meeting because you want 24 people to pray for you. And after 24 people pray, you still don't know what is God's will. Hallelujah. The more people pray for you, the more confused you are. The first test. Will you run to the arms of God? Number two. People trusted him. His family trusted him. 600 fighting men trusted him. 600 fighting men. They're all watching him, whether he's going to just give up or whether he's going to advance. The Bible says he said, no, I will go after. Say that, I will go after. One more time. One more time. The moment he said, I will go after, the men start following him. The Bible says they were exhausted. They were exhausted. They were exhausted. But even though they were exhausted, they knew God was trusting David. And they could trust him. See, ministry is when you make people trust you. Ministry is not like giving a candy and saying, put your hand up, say the sinner's prayer. No. Many times God tells me, Peter, they are trusting you with their lives. They are trusting you with their lives. Don't manipulate. That's right. Don't manipulate. Don't manipulate. Particularly when you move in prophecy, there's so much of temptation. Because people cling on your word. The third thing, this is very interesting. Come back to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 30. Read from verse 10 onwards. I want to highlight this. I want to highlight this. 1 Samuel 30 verse 10 onwards.
But David pursued, he and 400 men, 200 stayed behind, who were too exhausted to cross the brook Bezor. They found an Egyptian in the open country and brought him to David, and they gave him bread, and he ate. They gave him water to drink, and he gave them a piece of a cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit revived.
The third major test is how you can identify with people who are broken, like you. Today, many of us, when we have issues, we like to ignore everything else, true or not. I meet so many people who say, Peter Kumar, I'm not able to minister because I don't feel like up to it. I need a break. I mean, they call it burnt out. They should say, I'm a burnt offering. Yeah. Which is better, burnt out? Be spiritual like me. I'm a burnt offering. God will say, you stink. Hallelujah. Guys, are you with me? Please. Are you with me? Sometimes we say, no, it's called self-pity, apathy. Apathy. You have to learn to look at people. I mean, he's just a slave. He was an Egyptian slave lying on the streets. And he was from the enemy's camp. He was from the enemy's camp. A man who lost everything. The sight of an enemy, the first thing he would have said is, I need to kill him. But David says, no, bring him up. Give him food. Make him revive. Make him revive. Make him revive. The moment the guy revived, then he gave him a whole guide map. They're hiding there. They put the stuff there. Your children are there. Your family is there. And it makes it so easy for David to go and recover everything. David took back everything he lost. And David also took everything the enemy had.
Right.
Listen to me, please. A blessing is not taking back what you lost. It was a double portion. It was a double portion. After David took everything he lost, and after David took everything the enemy had, he distributes it to the fighting men. He distributes. This is ministry. This is ministry. I don't know. It's very interesting, Pastor Randy. God woke me up this morning, and he said, talk about why, my soul, you're so downcast. I said, already everybody is downcast. Why should I bring them down? And then he showed me so many things. So many things. And John was asking me, do you know what you're speaking? I said, no, I'm processing. But when I came here, he read those things. I'm the righteousness of God. I'm this for God. I'm that for God. God said, no, now be bold. Do it. I'm going to take just 5 minutes, my brother, my sister. For such a mighty man of God, he can still say, my soul is very discouraged. My soul is downcast. Today, you have to understand that can happen to you, it can happen to me. We can put a small false smile. We can put our hands and scream hallelujah. We can jump, we can dance, but our soul will say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. You're not dealing with me. You're not dealing with me. You're not dealing with me. How to make your soul, how to make your soul be in tune with the plans of God? You can pray. You can fast. You can speak in tongues. You can listen to 20 worship music. You can give. You can tithe. But still your soul, I'll give you 3 keys. The first thing, my brother, my sister, the soul, you have to constantly tell your soul that because God is with me, say that, because God is with me, I need to contend. I know many Christians who say, I know God is with me, but I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting. I tell them, you're wasting. Waiting should activate the work of God. The more you wait, God should work. Because you say, I'm waiting, some of us, we put God also on hold. I always say, fine, you're waiting on the Lord. Show me what God is doing. Show me what God is doing. God has to do it. God has to do it. I remember I was in a country and a lady came and told me, my husband has been admitted in the hospital for 41 days. They still haven't diagnosed what's his problem. And he seems to have a lot of pain. And she was explaining. I had some time. I went to the hospital. It was a lunchtime. I was doing a conference. I had about 20 minutes. I thought I'll go there. I'll pray for him. And before I went, God told me I'm going to heal him. I went there. This guy was a very intellectual guy. He was into homeopathy medicine. But now he's into allopathy and British whatever, whatever. So he was very upset because he knows about medicine. And he's been in the hospital for 41 days. So when I went and went, he was watching the TV. The lady was trying to interrupt. She said, can I put off the TV? He said, no. I'm watching the match. So she said, this is the pastor. God is using him. I brought him to pray for you. He looked at me. He looked at her and said, show him all the files. Show him the files. So she opened a cupboard, took so many files and gave it to me. I said, what are these? He said, these are all my medical records. All my medical records, my x-rays, my MRI, my reports. I want you to go through all of that before you pray for me. Now, I was annoyed. Here is a man like Benny Hinn, touch! He says, no, read. I told him, I need to go back. I have 20 minutes. He said, go. When you come next time, if I'm still in the hospital, I like that faith. When you come next time, if I'm still in the hospital, and if you still have time, come, read all the records. I didn't know what to do. I was upset, I was angry, I was irritated. And the lady looked at me, she was trying to apologize. So I said, sir, I need to go. He said, please go. And then I said, would you like to walk with me to the car? Would you like to walk with me to the car? See, please, we need to be smart. He's putting me on hold. He's putting God on hold. All the records. God gave me the wisdom. He said, oh, no problem. So he got up, put on his walking shoes, and we were walking the corridor of the hospital. At one point, God told me, I've already healed him. I've healed him. I didn't want to lay hands. I didn't do anything. I heard God say, I've healed him. I said, thank you, God. And we walked up to the car. He was very polite. He opened the door. He said, please get in. I got in. I pulled down the window and I said, my God has healed you. He said, why do you say that? I said, the pain is not there and already the healing is happening. So I said, can you bend down? Can you do this? So he started bending down 6-7 times. Everybody in the car park was watching like a crazy man. He pulled his legs and then he said, I don't have any pain. I said, I told you, my God healed you. He asked me when. I said, when we were walking in the corridor. He told me. He said, but you never prayed for me. Hallelujah. I told him, I never wanted to pray for you. But how rude. I said, I was praying for you even before I came. He held my hand. He apologized. And he said, you don't understand. I'm so discouraged. I know medicine. I know what kind of treatment will work. But nobody's listening to me. And I saw tears in his eyes. I told him, please don't waste your life in the hospital. Tomorrow, get discharged. The man got discharged. Now, guys, please, why do I say this? You don't call this a miracle. This is contending. This is contending. This is how it works when God begins to trust you. I could have held this hand in the corridor and I could have screamed in tongues. The whole alarm would go. And if there was some fire, all the fire. No. We have to learn. We have to learn. God told David, the moment you run to me, I will tell you how it works. Say that, how it works. How it works. All the promises, all the prophecies, all the power of God. It is still there. It is still there. But because my soul is so downcast, I know the plans. I know the plans. I know the plans. But my circumstances, my failures, my difficulties, they make me blind. I don't want to look past. God said, no, David, come to me, then I will tell you. I will tell you. So even in the greatest discouragement, you need to tell yourself, this is what God is depending me. Not God is expecting me. God is depending. God is depending. God is depending. Because please, what God is depending you to do, others cannot do. Others cannot do. Number two, you need to know how God delivers. Say that, delivers. The man kept on saying, my God has delivered me from the lion. God has delivered me from the bear. God has delivered me from Goliath. God has delivered me from the hands of the Philistines. God has delivered me from the hands of the Amalekites. If your God has shown you so many times about how he can deliver you, he will never be a spectator in any of your situation. Can we have a clap offering for the Lord? The Bible says the righteous will have so many trials, so many issues. Why? Because the Lord would deliver them from all. So if you ask God, why are you giving me so many situations? He will say, then how can I deliver you? Only if you walk through this passage, I can deliver you. Otherwise, I won't deliver you. Contending. Contending. I'm not asking you to be stupid. But there are so many things which happen. Which happen. The enemy knows God is with you. The enemy knows the plans of God is with you. The enemy knows your anointing. But the enemy also knows if you get discouraged, you will put your whole soul to death. That's why David is crying, "My soul, please, don't be downcast. Don't be downcast. Don't be downcast. Don't be downcast." The disciples loved Jesus so much, but he said, "Guys, your spirit is willing, but your soul is dead." They couldn't pray. They couldn't tarry. They couldn't wait. Today, the church is in that place. The church is in that place. I bring only my discouragement into the church. Why? Do you take your discouragement to your office? 3 days, you don't smile in your office, they'll fire you. We have to do something. I remember I had a very good friend. We used to be very good buddies. Laugh, joke. He got married, he went to another country. I went and I started being humorous with him. He never laughed at all. So his wife called me aside and he said, he's joined a particular cult group. Some group, not a cult. So you should never smile. So please don't force him to smile. And he also told me, "Pete, I believe I should not smile. I should control my emotions." So I said, "Fine, I'll honor that." But the man died. I went to the funeral. I was there, I went. And I saw he was smiling. So here you see in the casket and he's smiling. And I said, "Oh, praise the Lord, maybe he changed." So I went, I hugged his wife and I said, "I'm sorry." And then I said, "But he's smiling." She said, "Peter, I didn't want him to go without a smile." So after he smiled, I fixed a false teeth to make him smile. $600, hallelujah. So if you don't smile till you die, come to me. I know how to fix it. I like the wife, hallelujah. The man never smiled till he died. Now at least when he goes, I'll fix a smile. Discouragement. You know, many times God tells me, "Peter Kumar, if my people commit sin, I can forgive. I can forgive. They repent, I forgive. But if they're discouraged, what can I do?" I searched the whole Bible, and I found that God cannot work with somebody who's discouraged. Moses. Why did Moses fall short? Because he did not know how to handle the discouragement of people. And soon it caught up with him. He became so discouraged. He kept on telling God, no, not these people. No, these people will never make it. Why did you ever? See, how do you understand? Job, he had an anointing. Anybody who comes and meets him, he will give them grief. He will show them how to tear your garment. Hallelujah. How to put ash and dust on you. If I had met his friends, I said, "Don't get too close to him. Just hug him and walk away." The moment they got in touch with him, the first thing which hit them was grief. Why is my soul so downcast? One day I will definitely die at the hands of Saul. Here is a man who knew how to dodge. Why can't he say, "Saul will still try to kill me and I will still dodge"? Is it wrong? Finally, you need to tell your soul, "I need to step into my God-given destiny." My God-given destiny. Your God-given destiny connects you with your whole generation. For David, he had to create a legacy. Even Jesus had to choose to be born in the line of David. Not in the line of Saul. If God would trust you so much that he would bring in such precious things through your legacy, why should you let your soul be discouraged? Why should you let your soul be discouraged? My brother, my sister, it is difficult. It is difficult. I've been there. My son grew up in the U.S. He used to tell me, I hate you, Dad, I hate you. And then he'll say, I want your money. I felt like telling him, so you hate me and hate my money? No. I love that. I hate you, but I want your. He'll tell me, Dad, can we go shopping? So I take him to the store. He'll pick 20 shirts and say, Dad, pay. I used to tell him, you said, can we go shopping? So what are you doing for me? No, I buy, you pay. And then one day he said, I hate your Jesus. I said, why? You don't know Jesus. He said, no, you're talking about Jesus. I hate you, so I hate Jesus. So here is Peter Kumar, a great prophet, smiling all the time. And his own son says, I hate you. What do you do? Tell me. He's much taller than me, much stronger. If I walk into his room and put my hand, he'll say, I'll break your hand. No, you can pray. You can fast. You can intercede. But one day I called him and said, listen, if your dad has a mantle, God is waiting with a greater mantle for you. So you can't run and hide. But one advice, you do whatever you want, but be in a place where somebody can reach you. And I explained to him about an Indian cow. Hallelujah. See, the Indian cows, they tie the cow to a peg. A wooden peg. And then the rope is very long. But the rope, the cow can do anything. But the moment the cow pulls the peg and it goes somewhere, it'll be hit by a truck or a train. It'll die. So the cow knows that the peg and the rope is the boundary. I told my son, imagine an Indian cow, hallelujah. Your dad is like the peg and your mom is like the rope. Yeah, Gita is very, very different. The rope is very long. But you pull the peg and pull the rope, then somebody hits you, I'll see you in heaven. Hallelujah. But recently I was there in Australia. He took me to his room. He made my bed. I was surprised. He made me sit there. And he said, Dad, I want to talk to you. I said, wow, maybe he's going to talk to me about his 11th girlfriend. And then he came and sat with me, took my hand and said, Dad, I want to tell you I love you. I asked him, are you drunk? He said, Dad, please. This is serious. And then he said, I want to become a greater preacher than you. Then he said, Dad, I want to tell you, I will never tell lies to you. I said, so till now you are telling lies. Some. And I'm sitting there, and my son. Now he says, Dad, teach me how to become a preacher. I want to change the whole world. Can we give a clap offering to the Lord? It is not about becoming perfect, my brother, my sister. God told David, you have to become a man after my own heart. I want somebody to come and play the keyboard. Please, guys, please. Contending is not fighting. Contending is not giving up. I don't want to give up. Three tests. Number one, are you willing to run into the arms of God for every situation? Your discouragement sometimes does not let you run to God. Saul was discouraged. He could have run to God, but he ran to a witch. Today, please check. Check what your heart is saying, where your heart is directing you. Number two, you have to look at the people, a generation which is trusting you. You cannot give up. You cannot give up. If you have tasted the deliverance of God, if you have tasted, if my God is capable of fighting for me, he says, I'll do it. I'll do it. I'll step in on your behalf. I tell God many times, can you do it on my behalf? Can you do it on my behalf? Can you do it on my behalf? You've done it many times, God. You've done it many times. Please do it this time. This time. We are not asking for a miracle. We are asking for lives. We are asking for lives. Not just our family. Not just our family. Everybody around him were exhausted. Everybody were exhausted. They wanted to stone him. They wanted to kill him. But he said, no. I need to go. My soul, please don't be discouraged. Don't be downcast. Don't be downcast, my soul. Don't be downcast. I have to learn to strengthen myself. Because so many lives are depending on me. I need to create a legacy. I need to create a legacy. And the final test. When I'm feeling so low, I pick somebody on the street. I bring him back to life. The Bible says his life was revived. I like that. His life was revived. Even in your weakest moment, you can give God's best to somebody. Even in my weakest moment, I can give God's best to somebody. I want everybody to put your hands in your heart. Say something.
Jesus, thank you for a word from you, a word in season. Lord, just let your spirit move amongst us right now to revive us. As we speak, be not downcast, O my soul. Spirit, be renewed within me. Heart, be revived now in the mighty name of Jesus. Respond to him. Thank you, Lord, for doing this. We know your ways in this area, Lord. You are always faithful. Always faithful. Help us to look for one that we can help revive, Lord. There are those among us that need it. Jesus, let us be sensitive to your spirit. Oh, we love you so much, Lord. Amen.
Church, I just want you to be in the presence of the Lord for just 2 minutes. I've asked you to sing a song. I want to serve you, but today, please, let's not come just for a prophecy. Let's come for a destiny. For a destiny. Even in my weakest moment, I can give God's best. Tell my soul, tell your soul, no, you can't be discouraged. You can't be downcast. God is depending on you. A generation is depending on you. God never trusts you, God never judges you with one situation. Even in the most difficult situation, God says, I can deliver. I can deliver. Can you do the song for us, ma'am?
is flowing through my veins. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. I believe in you. I believe in you. You're the God of miracles.
Church, listen to me. Everybody has problems. Everybody is challenged. Physically, emotionally, even spiritually. But check what your soul is saying this morning. Check what your soul, and tell your soul, this is the plan of God upon my life. This is the plan of God upon my life. Whatever comes against me, I need to move forward. God is trusting me. I can't let God down. I can't let God down. I can't let God down. I can't let my people down. A generation. I'm called to create a legacy. I'm called to create a legacy. My God is dependent on me. Many people are depending on me. Even in my weakest moment, I'm eager to give out God's best. I'm eager to give out God's best. I'm eager to give out God's best. Please, my brother, my sister, today, let's not focus on our problems. It's not about a job. It's not about your finances. It's not about your boss. It's about your life. If you need to live one more day, one more moment, ask yourself, why? Why? We cannot always be selfish. Even God can be selfish. God can say, I created you for this purpose. Let's do it together. Let's do it together. Let's do it together. Yes, some of us, we may have failed. We may have committed sin. David committed many sins. But still, he could tell his soul, please don't be downcast. So today, this morning, it's going to be different. Don't look at yourself. Look at the mighty things God has prepared for you, for people who are trusting you, and so many broken people around you. If you would say yes, from today, every moment I want to live, there will be a greater purpose. I will connect a greater purpose for every moment I live. If you say that, stand up and come forward. I want to lay hands on you.